An Evening with the Sladdens, 1916. Part 2.
Juliet wrote back to assure her mother that she was not wasting away due to lack of food.
My darling mother, no, we have no lack of food. We can eat as much as we want. I think personally Miss Lacey would find it more truly economical to give us a little more meat, as then we should eat less. One has to eat such a heap of this vegetarian stuff, especially in the cold weather, which we have had lately. I had a very nice time yesterday. I met Kath at Tottenham Court Road. It was such a horrible, damp, cold day that she thought the only thing to do was to go to a theatre. So we went to see Peg and My Heart, an amusing comedy. I am going to Sydenham for the weekend of Kath's birthday, and we are going to another theatre. Awful of us in wartime, isn't it? But I am classing it as what Miss Lacey calls healthy recreation, which does you good and stimulates your work. I don't know whether Miss Lacey herself would class it as such. I hope to goodness the tribunal won't be such fools as to let off the twins. I would dearly love to be at home to see them go. We have all had to squash together in one room today, as there is scarcely any coal left. And although a new lot has been ordered in for ages, it hasn't come yet. I hope it will come tomorrow, or we shall be without any fires. It is lucky that we cook by gas. With much love to all, your affectionate daughter, Juliet E. Sladden.
On the Western Front, in early March, George found himself constantly on the move.
My dear mother, just lately we have moved so frequently that I have lost count of time. I believe we are stationary for at least for a week or so, and I hope we shall be able to settle down and get things cleaned and repaired a bit. Luckily, the horses are very fit, although they have a lot of heavy work lately over difficult roads. It is still winter here. The snow melted one day about a week ago, but since then the fresh falls have always been able to keep pace with the thawing that usually goes on to some extent in the middle of the day. We continue to have good luck in the billets we have found, both for men and horses. At the last five places we have quite fallen on our feet, and we shall soon be getting fastidious. The old madame at the place where we stayed the night before last was a gem, enjoyed cooking endless trifles for hungry hordes who dirtied a kitchen with their incursions, made me up a bed in an outhouse, a bed with sheets, the first I have ever slept in here. As a class, I believe nobody on earth can equal the French peasant woman in their untiring unselfishness and energy in ministering to the needs of strangers. Love to all from your affectionate son, George.
Meanwhile, on the Eastern Front, Cyril was once more heading into a war zone, this time Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, and had time to write on the voyage there.
My dear mother, we are anchored tonight and have a few miles to go tomorrow morning to reach our place of disembarkation. The trip upriver has been rather interesting. The land on either side is dead flat, but mostly covered with growth, chiefly palm trees thickly planted for miles, with frequent channels cut out to the side for irrigation. There are mud dwellings built at frequent intervals most of the way along. At one point, an oil town of modern growth made a variation in the view and in the atmosphere. The temperature shows a marked tendency to increase, and I believe we are likely to find getting hot rapidly, but still very wet underfoot, as the flood season is only just about over. Later, we have now arrived at Basra. This is a thoroughly eastern town in every way, showing little sign of western habits, except for those that have followed the military influx. Boats are commonly used for purposes of communication, and in wet weather are much the best way of getting about. I saw Harold Alsebrook a few days ago. He seemed a bit annoyed because they had been grousing in his letters from home that he wasn't writing regularly. He said he had written quite regularly every week. Apparently, I had caught a mail at Lemnos in January that he had missed, hence the trouble. I remarked that they would have to get used to the habits of army mails. Rather bad luck for Harold, after a month without letters, to get nothing better than a strafing. Best love to all from your affectionate son, Cyril E. Sladden.
Harold Olsiebrook was the brother of the vicar of Badsey. In March, 33-year-old Ethel went to Deal in Kent for a fortnight to assist her aunt, Edith Sladden, in looking after her daughter Nora, who was ailing. Ethel wrote home on the 17th of March.
My dear mother, Wednesday was a wretched, wet, foggy morning, but it cleared after midday. I made Benji's food for Nora, cooked brains for dinner, never done it before, had to find out, made curry and cup puddings for dinner, trimmed stove and lamp and various things, watering plants, etc. I went down to the town after dinner to shop and for an airing, got oranges, marmalade. Don't pity poor me. I dusted Nora's room. It wanted a good do. I shook my duster many times. Then I had to answer the doors a good many times. And while Auntie was out, I looked after Nora. I persuaded Auntie to rest on her bed after dinner. So I was in charge and read part of the time to Nora. Ever your loving daughter, Ethel N. Sladden.
Goodness me, is there no end to what Ethel does? Then, if that wasn't enough, there was an air raid to contend with, as Ethel explained to her sister, May.
My dear May, Sunday's raid was rather trying. I should have liked to watch more, but was worried, as you can imagine, about Nora and Aunt Edith. There have been a good deal of distant firing on Saturday, and aircraft were about. I think they must have been expecting an attempt. We had just settled down upstairs after dinner, and continuous firing began in the direction of Dover, and we wondered what was up. I went down and saw over Dover a perfect string of aircraft and balls of smoke light up. Then one aeroplane came straight this way, flying fast and lower. No doubt it was the German one which dropped bombs here. I did not see them fall, as I was too busy trying to look after them here, so only got spasmodic looks from the window. Poor Nora was very nervous. I was afraid she would faint, so gave her brandy. It was wonderful that no injury was done to people here. The only property damage was near St. George's Church, and one hen was killed. Well, I must run. I did not mean to write so much, but felt more inclined than sometimes. Much love to all, from Ethel.
On the 19th of March, a daytime seaplane raid was made on Kent coastal towns, proving to be the most lethal to date. The attacking force comprised six aircraft, the first ones appearing over Dover Harbour. In total, 14 people were killed and 26 injured, though none in Deal.
On the 20th of March, Julius Sladden, the patriarch of the family, wrote to Jack.
My dear Jack, we are all on the growl again over the weather, for after a better promise at the end of last week, we had a return of wet yesterday. It is really getting serious as regards work on the land, and we have seldom, if ever, been so late in starting to crop the garden. We have not yet been able to sow any seeds, and we usually commence in February. Ethel told us about the air raid in Deal. They were fortunate there in escaping the personal injury inflicted upon inhabitants of Dover and Ramsgate. Mother has been out a little, but the weather keeps her much to the house, and she wants more fresh air to pick her strength up. We have not yet heard from Cyril, but I hear letters from Mesopotamia take 6 weeks in coming, and if that is so, we must be content to wait a little longer for a letter. I am your affectionate father, Julius Sladden.
On the 22nd of March, Arthur wrote excitedly to his sister, about anticipated leave.
My dear Kathleen, I'm feeling very cheerful just now, for there is a good prospect of leave next week. And, with luck, I hope to be in London this time next week. I'm very ready for a holiday. I've felt pretty stale lately, with quite as much work as I can put up with. But it's more the lack of Sunday freedom, or even Saturday afternoon, that makes the difference. There is very little Sunday on active service. From all I hear about Babs, she is making good headway. Mary considers she has a very decided will of her own, but I feel sure that with proper handling, that is a matter for congratulation. And I'm equally sure that Mary will manage her wisely in that respect, as in others. As far as fathers are concerned, I suppose she'll find hers rather too pliable. They generally are. I hear she treats her grandfather with a great lack of ceremony and likes him best with his hair well ruffled by her little fingers. Well, I hope as hard as I can that next week will be the week for me. Your affectionate brother, Arthur.
On the 24th of March, Jack wrote to his mother about the outcome of military service.
My dear mother, I've had an official communication from the board to say that they cannot release me for military service. The Inland Revenue authorities are undoubtedly in a difficult position. They require a large staff to cope with the work, which has increased in most of the departments and have lost a considerable number of men. I think, however, the board was extremely lacking in foresight not to engage and train a staff of women much earlier, in anticipation of the time coming when there would be more work and a smaller staff. The air raid in Kent must have been rather alarming. The Germans seem rather fond of Sunday for their aeroplane raids. Aunt Edith must be very glad of Ethel's help. With love, I remain your affectionate son, John D. Sladden.
Eugenie Sladden had been ill for a month or two. Mila was away in Folkestone visiting relatives. With Ethelyn Deal and both May and Kathleen teaching, more help was needed at home. Kathleen wrote to her mother at the end of March, suggesting that Juliet return early to Badsey.
My dear mother, I hope Ethel will be able to stay on a little at Deal, but don't you think in that case it would be a good plan for you or father to write to Miss Lacey and ask her if Juliet may miss the last few days of term and come home next Saturday? I have been talking it over with her, and she said she would miss very little and could do a little work at home, and Miss Lacey would probably make no difficulties if it was clearly put that she is really needed at home in Ethel's absence. Betty is keen to come, and it would be quite a good thing for her, I think, so I hope you will write or get father to. Jack will have told you, I expect, that he has received an official notice that the Inland Revenue can spare no more men for the army. So that quite settles his plans anyway for some time to come. With much love to you all, your loving daughter, Kathleen.
Juliet was very happy with this plan, as she confirmed to her mother.
My darling mother, Kath suggested I should go home next Saturday, and she is writing to you to suggest that you should ask Miss Lacey if I may. I think it would be much the simplest way out of the difficulty, as then Ethel can just stay down at Deal a bit longer. The last week at school is rather a medley sort of week anyway, and there is very little that I should miss in the extra 4 days, which is all it would mean. I think Miss Lacey would let me go if she saw I was really needed. I shan't say a word to her about it myself. She might think I was just lazy and wanted to get out of a bit of the term. While coming officially from you, it would be quite different. With much love to you all from your affectionate daughter, Juliet E. Sladden. P.S. You won't be long, will you, in letting me know if you want me to come home early.
At the end of March, a fierce blizzard hit the Midlands. Eugenie wrote to Cyril on the 2nd of April to tell him about it.
My dear Cyril, we had a tremendous blizzard here on Monday night, and all Tuesday, the worst one I can remember since that very bad one in January 1881. It was worse all over the Midlands and in South Wales and as far south as London. No end of damage was done, trees blown down all over the place, and great damage to telegraph and telephone posts, so that communications are quite stopped in many places. The lines are unusable here. There were 60 poles blown down between Evesham and Broadway, and no traffic could go along the road. They have a platoon of Royal Engineers there putting things to rights, but it will take weeks before things are quite in order again. I'm afraid we have lost Juliet's poor black cat. We have not seen him since last Monday, and he has never stopped away so long as that before. I hear people who keep pigeons are rather apt to trap or kill cats, so I'm afraid he's come to grief. With much love, dear, hoping you will keep well and not have too trying a time, your loving mother, Eugenie N. Sladden.
Arthur arrived home on leave and was able to meet up with Mary at her parents' home in South Wales despite the bad weather.
My dear mother, I got here yesterday afternoon and by good fortune and much hard thinking by this household, found Mary here and not departed for London. Delayed telegraph service was at the bottom of all our troubles, which are far too complicated to describe in these days of dear paper. When we see you, we can give you a graphic description of how we both got lost in the fog. We plan, barring snowstorms, Zepp raids, or other nuisances, to arrive at Evesham station on Tuesday afternoon by the train from Worcester arriving around 3:15. We're going on to London the next day, and it'll be a rather flying visit, but it is difficult to fit things in properly. I have to leave again for France on Thursday. With much love from us both, your son, Arthur.
Meanwhile, over in Mesopotamia, the action was hotting up for Cyril, as his postcard of the 6th of April indicated.
Dear Mother, a very strenuous day yesterday. We made an attack at dawn, and after advancing a second attack in the open in the middle of the day, we finally made a night assault at about 7:30, which was successful, the Turks clearing out hurriedly and leaving a machine gun and much other stuff behind. Rather expensive in casualties, unfortunately, as papers will show. Came back to reserve after midnight, hoping to write to Mila today. Saw Harold Alsebrook with a painful bullet wound in the thigh, but not dangerous, I should think. He got it in the night attack. Best love from Cyril.
7th of December 1915 to the 29th of April 1916. An 8,000 strong British Indian garrison at Kut al-Amara, 100 miles south of Baghdad, lay under siege from the Ottoman army. Major General Charles Townshend and his troops had retreated to Kut in December after having sustained heavy losses in the region. Because of an inadequate supply chain, he chose to stay and hold the position at Kut instead of continuing the march downriver towards Basra. Rescue forces were raised, but early attempts to relieve Kut failed. The First Battle of Kut began on the 5th of April.
In Badsey, Eugenie was not so well, as Judith explained to Jack on the 8th of April.
My dear Jack, Dr. Leslie came to see Mother this morning. He found the lungs in a better state than before, but the heart not in so good a condition. In order to strengthen it, he is prescribing some medicine and also a series of exercises, morning and evening, at which one of the girls can assist. He will call again next Saturday to see how she is progressing. Meantime, he suggests that she should not go beyond the garden just yet. He does not wish her to abstain from slight exercise. In fact, he recommends it. But she is to rest when she gets breathless. The situation in Mesopotamia is exciting. One doesn't like to build one's hopes too high, but if we have an adequate force, General Townshend may yet be relieved, and the moral effect of this would be immense. I'm afraid that rush for Baghdad was a deplorable mistake, and there was no urgency in the matter. With our love, I remain your affectionate father, Julius Sladden.
Eugenie, despite being unwell, found time to write to Cyril.
My dear Cyril, we have been much interested in the letters we have had from you, written on your journey out and telling us of your various experiences. We see from the papers that the 13th Division has very soon been set to work again. I do hope you come through unharmed and will continue to do so in the further fighting that must take place before General Townsend's force can be relieved. We hear poor Harold Alsbrook has been wounded in his first fight. They heard 2 days ago, but know no particulars yet. The telegram said seriously. My heart is weak again, and I'm not to walk at present. Dr. Leslie wants me to do some wonderful exercises night and morning. One of the girls has to help me with them, so it will be a tiresome job for them. As when I know the whole 19, they will take quite half an hour, I expect. They're supposed to strengthen the heart and bring down the pulse, which at present is very quick. Father is trying to get me a bath chair. Meanwhile, we have borrowed the old cane, the old one from the vicarage, and the girls have taken me out in it. I enjoy getting a little more air. God bless you. Your loving mother, Eugenie N. Sladden.
Kathleen's school term finished mid-April, and she came home to Badsey for the Easter holidays. Kathleen wrote to May, who was on holiday in Devon, visiting their cousin, Mary Simpson.
My dear May, you must not worry about us being busy here. We are very cheerful with it all. Dr. Leslie came on Saturday morning. We were glad to have him again, as we had been feeling rather worried about the swelling of Mother's feet and legs. Another symptom which was disquieting was the unnatural red colour in her cheek and hands, her feet too. Father came down to breakfast on Saturday feeling quite unhappy about this. Dr. Leslie thought it quite out of the question for Mother to go to church today, so Mr. Alsbrook kindly came in after the service, second service, and had a short service here for her, bringing the consecrated bread and wine with him. Jack and I took her out for nearly an hour in her chair after tea, and she did enjoy it so. Just for a time then the sun came out, and it was very pleasant. The blossom was so pretty, and the Evesham bells were ringing so sweetly. Now I must go and put Mother to bed. Love to Mary and yourself, from Kathleen.
12th April. Telegram to Sladden at Seward House. Regret to inform you that Lieutenant C.E. Sladden, Worcestershire Regiment, was wounded April 9th. Further details will be wired when received.
Fortunately, Cyril was not too badly wounded. He wrote from the officers' hospital, Basra, a few days later.
My dear Mother, we made an attempt on the early morning of the 9th to capture the Turkish position at Suniat. It turned out a failure, and like all failures, was a rotten show and cost a good many casualties. We got into position for attack during the night, and then lay down and slept. The Turks put up flares much sooner than we had anticipated and spotted us. I had gone 200 or 300 yards forward and was lying down, resting on my elbows at the time, when a bullet went clean through my left arm. I stopped in a shallow trench and got a man to put my field dressing on. The bullets kept spinning just over into the low parapet. The trench was full of men, chiefly wounded, and more kept arriving. Presently a doctor came along from an aid post, and he bound my arm to my side, which made things much easier for me. After I'd been there some 3 hours, I got sick of it. The breeze was blowing a constant stream of dust all over us. The firing had died down pretty much, so I decided to take my chance and walk to a dressing station. I then rode in an ambulance wagon to a field hospital by the river, where we were made pretty comfortable in tents, with straw mattresses. At night, we moved a few miles downriver by boat to a clearing hospital. It was very crowded and the staff very short-handed. I got my arm properly dressed and put in a splint that evening and was glad to get it done at last, having endured temporary bandaging for 36 hours. We left next morning on one of the river boats and started our journey downstream, arriving here after 2 days. I feel very lucky with my slight damage amongst many much more unpleasant cases. Best love to everybody from your affectionate son, Cyril E. Sladden.
Eugenie was relieved to hear that Cyril's wounds were comparatively slight.
My dear old Cyril, we had a telegram from the War Office on Saturday saying you had been sent to Bombay, so I suppose you are there now. I do hope your arm is getting on well and not giving you so much pain or trouble. In a way, we can't help feeling thankful that you're not in all the dreadful fighting. We do hope they'll manage to get to General Townsend in time, but it seems a very hard task. 27th of April. I was very pleased to get your letter of the 16th of March this morning, so you will be spending your birthday in India this year. I'm afraid this may not reach you in time to give you our good wishes, but we shall think of you on the 9th of May. This is a bad day with me, so I'll not write more. Hoping your arm is getting on well. With much love, dear, I am your loving mother, Eugenie N. Sladden.
In Mesopotamia, General Townsend surrendered on the 29th of April after a siege of 147 days.
Jack had been home for the Easter weekend and was now back in Sydenham. Catherine wrote to give him an update.
My dear Jack, while I am sitting with Mother up in her room this afternoon, I will write my promised letter to you. Yesterday afternoon was a very bad time, but the evening was better. And today has been better too in that respect. Dr. Leslie is coming again tomorrow, and I quite hope he may be able to give a satisfactory report. Mother stays entirely in bed, and we have to give her light things, beef tea, milk foods, jelly, etc. We keep both windows wide open for air and have a little fire to keep a bronchitis kettle boiling. The complete rest is helping to make her legs and feet less swollen, which is a good thing. There is not much news in this letter, I'm afraid. Sick nursing does not give much material for letters. Love from us all, your affectionate sister, Kathleen.
On the 30th of April, Julius wrote to May, who was still away on holiday.
My dear May, Mother had a fairly good night, but is very prostrate today. Dr. Leslie has been and wishes us to get Mila, as he would like a trained nurse in the house. We have therefore wired her. I expect you will like to come back instead of going to Eastbourne. Hitherto, I have looked after Mother at night, but she is to have such frequent attention and feeding that the girls will each take a watch night to night. And then when Mila comes, we must arrange a timetable. It is very important that she should avoid anything like exertion and reserve all her strength in combating this latest attack. I think the cough is easier, but it leaves her absolutely weak. She is having various kinds of nourishment every 2 hours, and the doctor wants her to have pretty well the same at night. You can imagine, the girls are very busy, and they certainly are most careful nurses. It is a very anxious time for us all, but we must be brave and hope that all will go well. Your loving father, Julius Sladden.
An Evening with the Sladdens, 1916. The cast was Julius, Anthony Miller, Eugenie, Patsy Miller, Jack, Tony Spinks, May,
Ross Davis, Kathleen and Ethel, Sandra Sparrow, Arthur, Chris Smith, George, Robin Neal, Cyril, Terry Sparrow, Juliet, Martha Murray, Mila, Jane Neal. The narrator was Will Dallimore, and the official voice, Malango Rose Stevens. The director was Maureen Spinks. An Evening with the Sladdens was a Badsey Society production.